the outline of our study in 2, 1 through 10, there's the charge to teach others. That's verses 1 and 2. And that's the bottom line. Here's the charge. Take the things you've been taught, teach others. Then how to do it? He gives us three illustrations. We started it last week, and we'll see that. And then the last part is the purpose. How do we, what's the whole reason of doing this? We started with the charge, of course, and be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Teach others. That's basically the overall charge. If you looked at verse 2, I think that's, you can go past the part on the grace there, the next two slides. Then the next slide is, here's the charge. Teach others the things Paul had taught him. And we talked about it a good bit last time, about equipping the saints to do the ministry, that the goal of our lives, and sometimes we don't think that way. If we said the goal of our lives is evangelism, a lot of people would say, that's true. And as I quoted this morning, 80% of Christians never once in their life share their faith. You understand that? Just think about your life for a second. In the last 2 months, how many people have you shared your faith with? Just think about it. Most people say, well, I haven't. Go back 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. When we say, a lot of people say the goal is to share our faith. Most of us don't share our faith. The goal is much more than that. It is to make disciples. It is evangelism and training. And as Paul charges Timothy, as he's about to die, and we've seen it in this letter, he's ready to be poured out as a drink offering. He's ready to die. He says, Timothy, take the things that I have taught you, and then you teach others. You pass it on. That is the key. And that's what we said, and that's kind of the charge to this whole thing, is taking what we know and pass it on. If you say, I don't know anything, well, we have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, CBI, small groups, anything that you can get in. Well, we'll teach you the truth. One of the great studies that I think that gives you foundational truths is the 412 study. If you've not had the 412 study, you ought to have it, because it teaches you what's the gospel, how to present the gospel, assurance of salvation, the difference between being a believer and a disciple. It goes through three lessons on that, shows you how to get into Scripture for yourself, shows you how about a quiet time and all that. There's some great things, has verses to memorize. It will prepare you and equip you to disciple other people and to pass on what you know. We also need to be praying for the opportunities. We talked about that. Then we got to the second part, which was last time, and we said there were three illustrations that he gives us on how to do this, on how to take what we've been taught, pass it on. He used the illustration of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Last week, we started with the soldier. I think that's the very first one. And in verse 3, here's what he said. Notice what he says. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then as he got into this, the first aspect of the soldier, and is there another slide that comes up right after this or another? Yeah. It deals with priorities. As a soldier, the issue is, what is our priorities? Because we're in a spiritual battle. Look at verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. The bottom line that the soldier says, I don't worry about all the nitpicky things of life, and I don't entangle myself with the affairs of everyday life. My goal is to please the one who enlisted me. In our lives, we're saying we can't get so entangled with the life's affairs and all the nitpicky things of life that we forget what we're here for, and that's to please our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when a soldier didn't worry about where he lived or the clothes that he wore or any of that kind of thing, because his captain said, here's what you do and here's where you're going to go. Well, what he's saying is that we don't get so tied up into this world that we miss what we're here for. And sometimes, I mean, there's all kind of statistics out there, and they talk about how that most of the unbelieving world looks at Christians and say, you're not really any different than we are. You have the same dreams and the same things, and you're shooting for the same things, and you act the same way. So why would we want to be a Christian if you're really no different? And what happens sometimes is we get so caught up into this world, which is just so temporary. I think a thing that will help us, and we've talked about this before, but you realize that this life is like a dot. I mean, this life, this 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years that you have on this earth, it's like a dot. That's all it is. And when you die, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And you're going to be with the Lord forever. This line that just goes on forever. And how you live now will deal with rewards and responsibilities for all eternity. We're all so tied up in what we can get in this temporary little thing that we're not seeing the eternal. And we need to say, what is eternally important? It's people. It's knowing God's word. It's touching lives for Jesus Christ. It's doing that sort of thing. But we're so tied up in saying, I want this house. I want this car. I want these clothes. I want this new iPod. I want this. I want this. I want all these things. I just want to get caught up in my culture. And we got to be careful. Nothing wrong with a new iPod, by the way. But anyway, I saw Susie looking at me. I read the statistics last week when they said a lot of people, the secondary things become the goal, and they did a survey of what four things must you have in your home that you've got to have, you can't live without, and they had microwave TV, answer machine, and VCR. Of course, there'd be a TiVo or something today. It's a little bit older. What are your priorities? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says, live for Jesus Christ. Live righteously on this earth. Seek the fact that you're going to make an impact for Christ. And then he goes on to say, and all these what? Things will be added to you. What things? Huh? Actually, in that passage, it's food and shelter and clothing. If you remember, he goes back, Freddie, it's about three verses back. He says, you worry about food, you worry about shelter, you worry about clothing, you worry about all these things. He says, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. God's going to take care of you. There's no doubt about it. He says, live for me. That's why I put the Romans 12 verse up. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God. You know, acceptable service to Him. Be not conformed to this, you know, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is your priority in life? Are you a good soldier? We're in a spiritual battle. We're fighting not against people. And we talked about it last week, but the enemy's not people. The enemy's not the unbeliever. The enemy's not people who are against you. The enemy's the devil. We fight against principalities and powers in dark places. So we put on the armor of God as a soldier. He says, if you're going to be a soldier in active service, don't get so tied up in the everyday affairs of life that we forget what we're here for. And that is to serve Jesus Christ and to live for Him. And so as we start this year, the first thing we've said is, take the things we've been taught, let's pass them on to others. How do we do that? The first way we do it is, we don't get so entangled in everything of this life that we forget why we're here. It is to live for Jesus Christ and to fulfill the plan, which is to teach others and to take the truths on. So the first aspect is a right priority. There's a second thing, and that's the athlete. An athlete deals with the idea of discipline and obeying the rules. Look what he goes on to say. Also, verse 5, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the second aspect, he says, you got to take the truth and pass it on to others. How do you do it? Well, you don't get entangled with the things of this world. You're here to please your Savior. Second is, you got to live according to the Scripture. You've got to discipline yourself as an athlete. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The word competes as an athlete was really the word strive for the masteries. It meant to compete in the games. In that day and time, I've always loved sports, and from the time I was in about the seventh grade, I remember that was the first time I really thought about track and running and things, and so I always loved it. And I knew one day what I wanted to be was a track coach. I also wanted to be a football coach, but I if you gave me a choice between football and track, I would have chosen track first, and I did, in fact. When I went off to college, I worked in track, and I was a graduate assistant track coach before I ever went to Mississippi State and worked with football and track. I always loved track, and I loved running, and when you said the games, I immediately thought of the Olympic games. And, you know, when I was a young guy, I would say things like 1936 London, you know, and then I would say things like 1948 London again, and 1952 Helsinki, and 1956 Melbourne, and 1960 Rome, and 1964, you know, Mexico City, and 1960. I would just do that. You know what? That's where the Olympics were. I knew where I could go all the way back to when Pierre de Coubertin started the Olympic Games over in 1896, and they started calling the Olympics, they came back with what they called the modern Olympic Games. Why? Because I loved all that stuff. When you read in this passage, it says, if a guy is going to compete as an athlete, that meant be in the games. And in that day and time, if you were going to be in the games, you lived usually in a city-state. It was a city usually with a wall around it. And they would choose from their city some people who said, we want to compete in the games. And they would leave, and they'd be gone for a year. And they would have to go to this place, and all the other athletes, they would all from all over, would come together and train. And if they broke one rule, they had times they had to get up, times things, certain things they ate, certain times they practiced their sport, and all those kind of things. And there were people who regulated the whole thing. If you didn't get up, you were out. You had to go back home. You'd be embarrassed. You broke a rule. He says the athlete, if he's going to compete as an athlete, he doesn't win the prize. He doesn't even get into the games to win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And then for us, he's saying, where's the rule book? What's the rule book, Freddie? It's the Word of God. We won't make an impact for Christ. Then as the athlete, we live according to the rules. We compete according to the rules. We obey. I've told this story before, but it just kills me. I mean, it's just so true about rules. When I coached at Mississippi State, I coached a high jumper who was a decathlon man who made the 1980 Olympic team. He was really, really, really good. And the first day we were at the SEC championship, decathlon championship, he was far better than anybody else there. In fact, he was just so good. And there's five events on the first day and five events on the second day. And he had already, the first event, second event, third event, fourth event, he was running away with it. He had so many points, he was way ahead of everybody else. You come to the last event on the first day, and it's 400 meters. You just run around the track. He was by far the fastest one there. And he came out of the blocks, ran around there. I'm cheering. I said, man, my guy is really good. He was great. And he came across the finish line. It was one of his best times. And I saw this official waving this red flag, and I looked back over, it kind of scared me. And he went over, Mississippi State, Lee Pallette, disqualified. You know me. I said, what do you mean disqualified? What's the deal? What's the deal? They said on the inside curve, when he was running on that curve on the final thing, he stepped on the line three times. See, you can step on the line twice, because you got to stay in your lane. You can't get on the line. If you get on the line, you're cheating. That's how they look at it. He stepped on it three times, they disqualified him. So he got no points. He still almost beat him. He didn't win the SEC because he scored points in nine events instead of ten. And somebody could say, look, he just barely stepped on the line. You have to compete according to the rules. Every athlete, if you're going to get a prize, compete according to the rules. If you want to be a faithful man or woman for Jesus Christ, you want to have an impact, you want to be able to take the things you've been taught and pass them on, well, you're going to have to live according to the rules and the rule books, the Word of God. You got to live in obedience to the Scripture. You have to know the Word of God. You've got to live by the Word of God. Let me tell you, people say, yeah, you know, I want to teach people, I want to make an impact. If you don't live according to the Scripture, you're not going to be able to make an impact. Because what will happen is you can fool people for a while, but you can't fool people very long. And it comes out all the time, right? Didn't we just hear about somebody that came out not too long ago about some leader fail just recently? And you hear this all the time that people are saying, well, I'm doing this, but they're really not. You got to live by the Scripture. You got to know it. That's why it's so important that we study the Bible, that we get into it, we live according to Scripture, we do that. And so here's the question. We've already seen that the good soldier doesn't get entangled with the things of this world. We've got to remember that we're living for Christ. The good athlete is going to have to live by the Scripture. So here's the question. Are you competing according to the rules? Are you living by the Word of God? Are you making the fact that you want to have an impact for Christ go back to the fact that you're living as a godly man or a godly woman? If you don't, it won't work. He says, you don't get the prize. In fact, as Freddie brought out a while ago about rewards, this passage mentions something about that. It says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't win the prize. He doesn't get any rewards unless he competes according to the rules. Hey, you want to seek to live for Jesus Christ and be rewarded by God in the future and Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and see an impact even while you're on this earth? You're going to have to live according to the Scripture. And so the second thing that we got to do, not only is not get entangled with the things of this world, but keep our focus on who we're serving. The second thing is we got to live according to the Scripture. That takes us to the third thing, and that's the farmer. And he's a hardworking farmer. Notice what he says. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. The third aspect is that we work hard. I think it goes idea with the whole idea of faithfulness. And notice what it says. The hardworking farmer, what does he get? He receives his share of the crops. He gets the reward. When we serve Jesus Christ and we work hard. And you know, it's hard. Is it hard living the Christian life in a fallen world? Isn't everything that you believe contrary to what the rest of the world believes? It is. And you're going to have to make an impact for Christ. And it is not easy. And so you're going to have to be hardworking. You're going to have to live for Jesus Christ. I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain. You will receive the reward when you serve faithfully. God will reward you. I want to read something to you. Listen to this. This is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "Let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't grow weary." In due time, when you stand before your Savior as the hardworking farmer, as you've lived for Jesus Christ and you've fought the fight, you've run the race, you've kept the faith, you've done these things, you're going to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We've seen a charge to teach others. We've seen, how do we do it? Well, as a soldier, you have the right priorities to please Jesus. As an athlete, you discipline yourself to live in obedience to the rules. And as the farmer, you work hard so you get the rewards. Now, the question for us is, do we have the right priorities? Do we have the discipline as we live by the Scripture? And then we have the hard work and so-called lifestyle, in a sense, being faithful to serve. 1 Corinthians 4:2 is a great verse. It says, "Moreover, brethren, is required of stewards to be found what? Faithful." That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not your smarts. It's not your spiritual gifts. It's not your natural abilities. It is your faithfulness that God rewards you on. That's why all of us can be hardworking. All of us can be faithful. We can all fulfill whatever God has for us to do. And we know that in this passage, He says, take the things that you've been taught, you invest your life in teaching others, and you do it like a good soldier who keeps the focus on who you're serving. And you do it like the athlete who lives by the rules, the Word of God. And you do it like the farmer who works hard, faithfully going on, because you're going to be rewarded. Look what He says in verse 7. "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Consider what I say. Now, we started the lesson 2 or 3 weeks ago by saying, this is a charge and a challenge. And as we start this year, you know, you could say, okay, I'm gonna start learning the Bible so I can take what I know and pass it on. That's what Paul says. You consider what I said. The Lord will give you the understanding. He'll help you put it together. He'll help you be ready and faithful. That's the key. Do you and I realize? Let me ask you this question. If you don't pass it on to the people you're closest to, who will? We all have people we work with. We all have people we live close to. We all have family people. We all have friends. All of those are close to us. If you don't pass it on, if you're not, as the faithful soldier and the faithful farmer and the faithful athlete, if you're not doing it, who's going to do it? See, there used to be this idea that what you do is you bring people to church, and then the pastor is either going to lead them to Christ or just teach them all the stuff. Well, first of all, a lot of people wouldn't, you know, if there's one pastor for all these people, they don't even identify sometimes. You are the one that know them better than anybody else. You have a friendship with them. You have a relationship with them. Who in the world is supposed to help other people know and grow? It's you. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? Paul says, "Timothy, take the things I've been teaching you, and you pass these on to faithful people who will teach others." God says to us, take the things we're being taught, and let's pass them on to others. And let's be like a soldier, a good soldier. And don't get entangled with this world, but please Jesus. And let's be like that athlete who lives by the Scripture. And let's be like that farmer who works hard. He says, consider what I say. The Lord's going to give you understanding in everything. We've seen the charge. We've seen the illustration. Now the purpose. What's His purpose? Verses 8 through 10, He says, for the sake of others. Why in the world would you do this? Notice what He says. Verse 10 really puts it together. For this reason I endure all these things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain salvation which is in Jesus Christ, and with it eternal glory. It's for the sake of other people. Now, before Paul gets to that, he stops to think about Jesus, because that's what Paul does a lot of times as he's writing things. He'll think about his Savior and he'll just mention something. Notice what he says in verse 8 about Jesus. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended of David, according to my gospel. Now, there's several things in that passage. The first one is remember Jesus. We often go through life and we don't think about why we're going through life. You remember the passage? Run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 12. Run the race with endurance, keeping your focus on Jesus Christ. He says, remember him. Gene helped me one day. We were talking about something, and you know, sometimes when you do ministry, and I don't know if, and I know it's happened to all of us, but you might invest some time or yourself into something and or a person, and then that person like just walks away or rejects you, or actually they're rejecting Jesus, but they reject you, and you feel like a failure, or you feel like you've messed up, or you say, why am I doing this? And one day Jean and I were talking about something like that. She says what always helped her is she just remembers, who am I doing all this for? Remember Jesus. That's who we're doing it for. Listen, he didn't say everybody's going to love you. He didn't say everybody's going to follow you. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, if they hated me, they're going to what? Hate you. So expect sometimes that. He says, just remember Jesus Christ. And then look what he says about Jesus. He says, risen from the dead, descended of David. He gives two things there. He said he's risen from the dead. He's the one that died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again. He's a descendant of David, which means not only he became a human being, but he's the Messiah and the Savior. He says, don't forget Jesus is the one who is the Savior who died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, conquered death. You know, Jesus Christ did it all. I owe him. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and Jesus washed it white as snow. He did it all. You're going to live forever because Jesus Christ died and rose again. He not only paid for your sin, but he conquered death. So we're going to live forever with Jesus forever because of him. So we don't want to forget him. He's the one risen from the dead. He's the one that's the Messiah, Savior. And then love how Paul ends this. He says, according to my gospel, according to my good news message. That's the good news message. Jesus Christ became a person, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. That's the good news message. We don't ever want to forget that. That's the first thing we take to people. We take them the good news message, and then we train them and equip them. We take the things we've been taught and pass it on. Notice what he says. This gospel message, he says, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Now, I want to spend just a little bit of time on this. I know the bell's about to ring. That's the first one. And so we got just a second, but and then we'll just finish it all next week. But look at what he says here. According to the gospel for which, the good news message is which he suffers hardship. Have you ever suffered hardship because you presented the message of Jesus Christ to someone or some group? Paul did. In fact, he's thrown in prison. In fact, notice what he says here. I suffer hardship to imprisonment as a criminal. Paul was when this was written, Paul was in prison in Rome. He was in a hole in the ground. His days were numbered. They were about to kill him. That's why you get to chapter 4. He says, I know I'm going to die. Now, what did Paul do wrong? Nothing. But he suffered as a prisoner, as a criminal. He says, I suffer hardship. And I'm going to tell you, the truth is this. When you stand for Jesus Christ on that campus, in the workplace, in your neighborhood, when you stand for him and you say there is no other way of salvation except Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is perfect. It is accurate. It is truth. That salvation is a gift. I guarantee you there will be people against you. There are many religious people in this town that totally disagree with the message I just said to you. And they're in pulpits and churches all over this town. And they totally disagree with what I just said. And when you stand for that in this community, especially in an educated, collegiate, university setting, you will have hardship. You want to do it? Who else is going to do it? Who else is going to give the grace message? Who else is going to stand for the scripture? Who else is going to tell people that there's way, truth, and life, and has Jesus? You got to do it. Paul says, I suffer hardship for the gospel, even as a criminal. And I'm going to end with this, and I'm going to come back with it next week. But the word of God is not imprisoned. You can put the messenger in prison, but you can't stop the message. They can't stop it. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It never comes back void. It will accomplish whatever purpose that God has for His Word. That's why, and you've heard me say this many times, when you have the opportunity, teach them the Bible. Give them the truth from the Scripture. It's what touches lives, not funny stories. I mean, they're fine. It's okay to have a funny story every now and then. It's okay to tell about some things. But the whole thing that people really need is the truth of God's Word. And that's what's alive and powerful. That's what affects the soul. That's what changes people's lives. And that's why he says the Word of God is not imprisoned. It can't be stopped. You can stop the messenger, but you can't stop the message. When they put Paul in prison the first time, and he wrote the four prison epistles, you know, Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon, he said, even though I'm in prison, the message of Jesus Christ is spreading more and more. He said, not only with the guards that I'm chained to, but there are other people now who are not in prison with me, but since I'm now in prison, they're spreading the message even more. You cannot stop the gospel message. They might stop you, but they can't stop the message. So be faithful. The last verse, and I'll just mention it, and we'll hit a little bit on 9 next week as well. But he says, for this reason, here's his purpose. I endure all this for the sake of those who are chosen, those who are picked, those who belong to God, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ and with it eternal glory. And by the way, we're going to look at it next week. When he says the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, he's not just referring to eternal life salvation. There's past salvation, present salvation, future salvation. He's talking about the salvation in Christ. You have been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. Justification, sanctification, glorification, all that's together. If you've had a 2-2 class, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? 2-2 people, that's where it is. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, why do you do what you do? For the sake of those who do not know. We'll finish it next week. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, that as soldiers, we don't get so wrapped up in the things of this world, but we want to please our Savior. As athletes, we want to live by the rule book, the Scripture. As the farmer, the hardworking farmer, we're going to be rewarded as we're faithful that way. Lord, we know you'll give us understanding so that as we seek to take what we know and pass it on, we do it in those ways, realizing that we've got a Savior who died and rose again, who gives eternal life. We have a message that can never be stopped. And we do all of this for the sake of those who are the chosen ones, the ones that God has brought to himself, so that they may obtain the salvation, past, present, and future, which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.